I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Southampton at the Mayflower Theatre, originally called The Empire. This theatre was built in 1928. For the time, the theatre boasted unheard-of luxury, including a roof garden providing fine views over Southampton Water and down into the docks. But the fun ended when he fitted curtains to his surgery. Prices for the best seats in the Grand Circle were typically 28 pence, and you could get a seat in the balcony for just sixpence. But back then, a four-bedroom house in Southampton cost £700. You'd be lucky to get anything like that price today. At a memorable Sunday afternoon concert in 1945, Ted and Barbara Andrews introduced their 10-year-old daughter Julie to this very stage. She stood on a box and began to sing, and we all know what happened to young Miss Andrews after that. She was rubbish. So she went into the family liver salts business. Since the 1970s, the main sea traffic operating here has been the Isle of Wight ferries. And now it's become fashionable to do derogatory jokes about the Isle of Wight on the radio. But if you're listening in the Isle of Wight, there's no need to worry. The radio is that magic talking box in the living room next to the mangle. Southampton is also notable as the home of the world-famous Ordnance Survey. It's recently been discovered that bored surveyors put jokes in the early maps. In Lincolnshire, there's a contour line in the shape of a baby elephant. And in Hampshire, if you look very carefully, there's the outline of a little toilet. Basingstoke, I think it is. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And making a welcome return and eager to enjoy the action, please welcome our scorer, the ever-delightful Samantha. Okay, we start with a round which does exactly what it says on the tin, may cause drowsiness. With insurance claims and safety measures in mind, teams, I'd like you to share any warning signs you may have spotted recently. Graham, will you start, please?
On an England football tour, do not leave wags unattended.
Tim?
Maternity ward, allow 28 days for delivery.
Jeremy.
On a white van, no tools left inside overnight, only in the driving seat during the day.
Barry.
Roll on mum deodorant, unscrew top and push up bottom.
Warning, Lord Mandelson, caution, could be slippery when talking.
Outside Royal Bank of Scotland headquarters, management are not responsible.
On a pair of Y fronts, warning, may contain nuts.
On a birthing pool, may contain nudity and strong language from the outset.
Any resemblance to actual persons or events, living or dead, is unintentional and purely coincidental. News of the world.
On a portion of spare ribs. Contents are ribbed for your pleasure.
On a box of free-range eggs. Batteries not included.
This door is alarmed and the window's a bit jumpy too.
Ha ha ha. The teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Now, you'd need to have been cut off from the comedy business for 35 years not to know how this works. So, teams, this is how it works. If you think about it, a song is just like a prize pig. The pig represents the lyrics, which you keep in a pen or tune. After a while, you may have to send the pig into the abattoir and replace it with another pig, or literally sing one song to the tune of another. Certain celebrity chefs have actually taken to keeping classic breeds, such as Tamworth or Gloucester Old Spot, as family pets before consigning them to the abattoir. Speaking of the slaughter of much-loved classics, at the piano, Colin Sell. So we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of My Ding-a-ling to the tune of the Dam Busters March.
When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy, silver bells hanging on a string. She said it was my ding-a-ling, a-ling, oh my ding-a-ling. Everybody sing, I wanna play with my ding-a-ling, a-ling.
Thank you very much, Barry. It's like doing a show in sheltered accommodation. You now, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of Psycho Killer by Talking Heads to the tune of Ruler of the Queen's Navy from HMS Pinafore.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep, cut my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, cause I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa.
Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Fa 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 fa. Better run, run, run away. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa 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 fa. Better run, 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 run away.
Run, 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 run away.
You start a conversation, can't even finish it. You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything.
You start a conversation, you can't even finish it. You're talking a lot, but you're not saying anything.
Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Frankie Howard's Three Little Fishes to the tune of the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves.
I thought I was doing something else.
Doing something else now?
You're now watching A Family at War.
Well, here, I've got the words for Grandma, We Love You.
No, I've said I'd like you to sing the words. What is this position if I'm not in charge? You got the right words?
We wanted Graham Norton.
Even I tried to persuade him. Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Grandma, We Love You to the tune of O Sole Mio.
Oh, Gran, you're the greatest grandma. On this we all agree. You're always making nice things to eat and loads of cups of tea. Grandma, we love you. Grandma, we do. Whenever we are far away, we always think of you. You're a very lucky grandma. Not just for winning bingo, but for having us here to stay. Grandma, we love you. Whenever we are far away,
And finally, Jeremy, I'd like you to sing... Well, actually, I'd just like you to sing. I'd like you to sing the words of So Macho by Sunita to the tune of the Marseillaise.
Don't want no 7-stone weakling, nor a boy who thinks he's a girl. I'm after a hunk of a guy, an experienced man of the world. There ain't no way that I'll make do with anything less than I'm used to. If I have a man tonight, he's got to be right, right, right. So macho, he's got to be. So macho, he's got to be. Big and strong enough to turn me on. He's got to have big blue eyes, be able to satisfy. He's got to be big and strong.
Thank you, Jeremy. And they weren't laughing at you. Next round is about telephone communication, although it seems these days you never actually get to speak to a real person. Bearing in mind that most of us only ever speak to machines, the teams are going to imagine what voicemail messages might have been left on the answer phones of various historical figures. Okay, so I'll start you off with this answer phone message. Belay there, me hearties. You have reached the instrument of Admiral Lord Nelson. I'm out at the moment, rounding the horn. Please leave a message after the tone. Off you go.
Hello, cheeky sailor. Napoleon Bonaparte speaking, but you can call me Boney, and you know why. My little broccoli spear. My fleet is heading for Trafalgar, but I'll be with you at half-time, so polish your column, you naughty mange do. Be happy, love nappy.
Hello, Emma Hamilton here. I count the hours until once more I'm in your arm.
Hi, it's Hardy here. Look, I'm sorry if I've given you the wrong impression. I really like you as a friend, and I respect you as an admiral. It's just, you know, I just don't think about you in that way. It's kind of maybe more like a brother. Anyway, I'm cool about it, so I hope it hasn't spoiled things, because, you know, I'd hate that. Anyway, okay, take care. Bye. Bye.
Jeremy, would you now leave an outgoing answer phone message from Julius Caesar?
Hello, Julie here. I'm on tour at the moment. If it's about work, please call my agent, Clifford Maximus, on VII, VIII, III, VI, III, IX, IVI. Otherwise, call the mobile. VII, VIII, VII, V, V, I, V, 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 IX, I, VII. Ciao.
Julius Caesar, sorry to hear you're out. Hope you come back to Britain soon for fun and games. Your friends, Vaney, Vidi and Vicky.
Hello, Mr. Caesar. This is Jack calling from the Regional Planning Office regarding your planning application to divide all Gaul into three parts. Just to confirm, it is three parts, not four, as that would require an RPO 57 stroke Y. And I presume you have no intention of adding a conservatory. Bye-bye.
So, Tim, now perhaps you'd leave an answer phone greeting for Joan of Arc.
Hi, Joan of Arc ici. Believe me, I'm hot, very hot. Please leave a message, no faggots, I've had enough of them.
Philippe Philop here, shoes you choose. Your asbestos fireproof Wellingtons are ready. Get round here, hot foot, no offence. Love you, Johnny.
Hi. Are you satisfied with your current fuel supplier? Why not ensure winter warmth at manageable prices with British Gas? Meeting all your heating requirements, be they gas, electric, or bundles of firewood. Call us on our free phone number and say goodbye to the shivers.
Hi, Joan, darling. God here. Listen, I've had second thoughts about this whole war with England thing. You know, I hope you haven't made any plans. It's kind of dangerous. You're only a slip of a girl. So I hope you haven't put yourself at any risk. Oh, you're here.
Moving on, the teams are going to take a look at the world of celebrities next. But first, I'm sure every Radio 4 listener will have been saddened at the news of Peter Andre and Jordan's separation. That's how shocked I was to see that lovely pair fall out. Okay, teams, I'm going to read to you from a selection of genuine magazine and newspaper cuttings concerning a well-known individual. However, certain words or phrases have been removed, and I'll ask the teams to guess what the missing words might be. Today's subject is the entertainment personality, Noel Edmonds. He's very popular, isn't he? So here it goes. Early on in my life, I knew that what I wanted more than anything was to...
boiled eggs.
The actual answer is be on the radio. The BBC would not even grant me an interview, but I kept bombarding the pirate radio stations with tapes that I made in the tiny studio I'd created in my...
beard.
In my bedroom. Eventually, I was given a job making trailers and...
sometimes caravans.
Competitions for Radio 1. This gave me the opportunity to be around the studios at every hour of the day, and I quickly set about making myself...
unpopular.
As useful as I could. I was absolutely positive that one day this approach would produce an opportunity, and sure enough, when Kenny Everett contracted flu with just 24 hours' notice, I was asked...
have you just been to Mexico?
I was asked to present his Saturday morning show. The station intended to call me by a name they already had in a jingle package.
It rhymed with anchor.
Randy West. I was very tired by the time House Party ended, and I think the viewers were probably...
tired long before that.
Tired too. 6 years when I wasn't on screen, I was farming in Devon. I've given a foal mouth to mouth. It's hard. You can only...
see each other on visiting days.
You can only do one nostril at a time. Don't you know about orbs? Orbs are little bundles of positive energy that look like little round planets, but they come in all shapes and sizes. Conventional photography can't pick them up, but...
curb crawlers can.
But digital cameras can. I've got loads of photos of me at home with two orbs that visit me. The two that I have are about the size of melons. I like to think they are...
the Mitchell brothers.
I like to think they're my parents. It's bonkers how huge Deal or No Deal has become. It's a fascinating format because if you think about it, it's...
rubbish.
Incredibly complex is what he said. I don't see it as a second chance. I see it as...
one final desperate throw of the dice.
A fresh era. The fastest I've ever driven is 186 miles an hour. I was completely...
pissed.
Completely naked.
Oh, no.
I thought I'd take it out for a breather, the poor thing. The poor thing was stuck in...
My zip.
Stuck in its stable and needed exercise.
Oh!
I remember when arriving at the roundabout horrendously fast, I almost didn't...
manage to get on the little fire engine.
Almost didn't stop. I'm very straightforward on immigration. The bus is full. We haven't got enough energy. We haven't got enough electricity. We haven't got enough...
bigots.
Got enough of a health service, is what he said. The team's set to revive the ancient art of letter writing next. Long before the age of email and Twitter, when missionaries first went to the South Seas, they took printing sets with them, but some letters of the alphabet would go missing. One island race was taught English without any O's or F's. To this day, they still can't spell for toffee. Although I thoroughly recommend their edition of The Count of Monte Cristo. Okay, teams, I'd like you to take it in turns to improvise the correspondence between two people, Graham and Barry. I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Dan Brown, author of Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons, to Pope Benedict. Then Tim and Jeremy, you'll come up with a reply, and so on. However, the challenge is that the letter must be constructed by each panelist, alternating one word at a time. Off you go, Graham and Barry.
Dear Benny, I have just conceived a rather wonderful idea for examining your life. Because I always thought that you were Jewish.
However,
I
have
discovered
that
you
are
not
Jewish.
But
amazingly,
I
find
that
you
are
German.
Therefore,
it
behooves
me
to
ask
you
if
I
can
write
this
story
in
English,
which
will
entail
voluminous
yet
scanty,
although
penetrating
and
enlightening
explosions
of
a
revelatory
nature
that
will
amaze
and
astound
yet
lull
the
audience
into
a
coma.
All
the
best.
Yours,
Dan Boy.
Jeremy and Tim, you want to reply to that?
Dear
Daniel,
got
your
message
yesterday.
But
did
you
really
mean
what
you
say
in
your
letter?
I
am
apoplectic.
As
if
you
think
you
can
make
a
film
without
me
in
it,
then
you
are
very
much
mistaken. I
want
to
be
a
big
star
in
the
movies
and
shine
all
day
long.
I
am
singing
your
praises.
What?
Praises.
And
talking
to
my
wife,
Brian,
who
is
from
Penge.
Lots
of
love
from
your
holiness,
Papa
the
123rd.
Pope.
Kiss, kiss.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to fit in a round of... Are you stupid or something? There is just time to fit in around a banker's film club. Samantha is off to meet her gentleman friend, who's trying to raise the money to buy a large detached house. But the banking crisis has caused him problems investing his cash, and it's even affecting their relationship. Samantha says he'd put it in, lose interest, and take it out again, and... and now he can barely manage a semi. So while she's away coping with that, I'll ask the teams to suggest titles of films likely to appeal to an audience of bankers. Barry, you can start.
Cash a Banker.
Tim.
Hey, up, I could have been a contender. That's Northern Rocky.
Jeremy.
The Da Vinci Pin Number.
Graham.
Bernie Madoff, Prince of Thieves.
Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
The Savings of Private Ryan.
This one's a video game. Sonic the Hedge Fund Manager.
Bring me the statement of Alfredo Garcia.
1 million years, HSBC.
The wind that shakes the Barclays.
A bridging loan too far.
How Nut West was won.
The bridging loans of Madison County.
Dahl M for merger.
Bridging loan on the River Kwai.
Fiddler on the take.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the curious kitten of time peers through the washing machine window of fate, before the housewife of destiny opens the door to let it out, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the teams, Samantha, myself, and the good people of Southampton, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.